Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. This afternoon, in this portion of the program, it's the Capitol Steps, their politics takes a holiday, April Fool's Day special. And when that program is over, we will talk with Alex Boza, author of Hippo Eats Dwarf, A Field Guide to Hoaxes and Other BS. That's coming up after the satirical look at politics from the Cap Steps. Stay tuned.
Hello, welcome to the port of New York. Yes. We are representatives of the United Arab Emirates, and we are most very much not pleased by the fact that we will not be taking control of a number of U.S. ports.
Just the other day, George Bush called me and he said, Abdali, you're doing a heck of a job.
Seems a number of your politicians thought that having an Arab country with ties to terrorism in control of your ports is like, well, it's like placing Bill Clinton in charge of security of the Elaine Bryant dressing rooms.
Look, if a former timber lobbyist can head up the Forest Service or a utility executive can head up the Clean Air Division of the EPA, then what was so weird about us?
Strangers on the docks, inspecting cargo.
This one goes tick-tock. It smells like nitro.
What's a Trojan horse?
Who cares? Just let it through.
Some thought it was wrong. That is profiling.
Some thought in a cave. Osama smiling.
Some thought it's not smart. And that we have no clue. Strangers in your ports, don't be concerned that we're a danger to your ports.
A less expensive way to fight that terror scare is fight us here, not there.
How do we get them anyway?
We were high bidders on eBay.
And ever since that night, beneath the far moon, we will always fight those Danish cartoons.
As we go along, we hum our hometown song. Dubai, Dubai, do. Do, 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 Dubai.
Dubai, Dubai, do. Do, 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 Dubai.
Hey, Habib. Hey, do you know why they say we should not be able to control the ports?
No, why?
Because we harbor terrorists. Ah!
I don't get it.
Since we lost the deal and faced rejection, who has got the zeal for port protection?
Who can get it done? Dick Cheney and a gun.
Live from the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington, D.C., it's the Capitol Steps April Fool's edition of Politics Takes a Holiday.
Are you tired of today's tuneless music? Well, get out your rocker and get ready to rock and roll with those granddaddies of grand pop, direct from the Super Bowl, the Rolling Stones!
A 50 years of rock and roll gave me high cholesterol. I saw my doctor says I need Angie. Oplasty. From my toes up to my ear. Oh, Angie. Oplasty.
Before my veins all disappear.
Take a walker on the wild side with this gum-gnashing, cane-pounding rock.
I've got a bald spot and I want to paint it black.
Give me some Elmer's glue so I can glue it back.
My locks are thinner there with every passing year.
And now I part my hair an inch above my ear.
They've really got a poly grip on things.
My spine is stuck from too much hip gyration. My lips are disconnected from my bones. I can't eat food that's Mexican or Asian. I'll get a case of rolling kidney stones.
You can't always eat what's wrong.
Everybody, yeah!
You can't always eat what you want.
Sing it again!
You can't always eat what you want.
Yeah, but if you're smart instead and bake some bread,
you'll eat what you need.
But wait, there's more. You'll also get hits like Time Is Not On My Side, Jumpin' Hot Flash, Blood Sugar, and this all-time classic.
Yeah, well, it used to be the things we do would make the older generation look askance. But now we're golden oldies, so instead of planting pot, we're potting plants. Instead of whacking out on weed, we use weed whackers on a patch of grass. And when kids on mountain bikes tear up our yard, we say respect the older class. That's right, we say hey,
hey,
you
get off of my lawn.
Hey,
hey,
you
get off of my lawn.
Hey,
hey,
you
get off of my lawn.
Yes, folks, we accept Visa, Master, and Social Security cards. And if you act now, we'll even include the special Beatles retrospective from Rubber Soul to Rubber Pants.
I get by with a little help.
I rely on a little help.
I stay dry with a little help from the
my fellow Americans, it is I, President George W. Bush, and I'm here to bolster the American people's anxiety. Of course, I need to address a few issues, one being that recently you may have heard the story that my Vice President, Dick Cheney, responsible for shooting a 78-year-old man. Now, there are those who say he should not have done that. Those people hate freedom. Sometimes you just gotta act. But I tell you, to show that that he's a good sport, that there are no hard feelings, for his next hunting trip, Dick has promised to he's promised to Democrats he intends to invite Hillary. Ooh. Of course, I've been criticalized lately because of. Because of this whole thing with the NSA and the wiretapping scandal, you know, for years, people accused me of not listening to the American people. Once they find out I've been listening all along, it's like, what? But I tell you, enough about that now. It's time for me to have a good conversation with my vice president. Y'all know I'm a shooter. It's Dick Cheney. Hey there, Dick.
Mr. President, I just want to say that I hope you understand that this is the first time I've ever shot a man accidentally. And I would like to mention that I did go and visit the man I shot in the hospital.
You shot a guy in the hospital, too?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Well, speaking of quitting, Dick, it's time for us to admit that we have a problem.
That's true, Mr. President. You know, denial is not just a river in Egypt.
No, no, no. You're thinking of the Amazon.
Just do what you have to do, sir.
Demand is up. Supplies are down. What I want is light, crude and brown. I crave oil to get my kicks. Attacked Iraq to get my fix. I love oil, oh, every ounce. Nuclear I can't pronounce. When my twins go out for fun, I say don't drive, take Air Force One. Oh, we can't conserve it, we are just way too spoiled. Oh yeah. Globe is heating up, you know it's starting to boil. Gonna have to face it, we're addicted to oil. I saw the signs, but I don't care. Ozone holes, polluted air. A hybrid car might save the day. Each time I look, I say no way. Those cars look gay.
I can't be saved, 'cause fossil fuels are what I crave. Without gas, I fall apart. I need fuel to start my heart.
Whoa, whoa. We like to think that we're immune to the stuff.
Oh yeah.
Many shortages, you know it is just a bluff.
But gonna has to face it, U.S. can't get enough. Might as well face it, we're addicted to oil. Never can replace it, we're addicted to oil.
Might as well face it, we're addicted to oil.
Might as well face it, we're addicted to oil.
Well, hi there. It's time for Government Lessons for Little Children. This is the story of Jack Abramoff. Now, Jack is a very powerful lobbyist and a friend to many members of Congress, but Jack has not been a very good boy. This is his story. And this is the house that Jack bribed. This is the cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house that Jack bribed. This is the member who tries to remember if he took some cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house that Jack bribed. See where I'm going? This is the tribe who paid for the bribe to give to the member who tries to remember if he took some cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house. That's right. This is the plane they all took to Spain with funds from the tribe who paid for the bribe to give to the member who tries to remember if he took some cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house. Yeah. This is the John. They flushed money down after taking the plane and going to Spain, and the unwitting tribe would scalp Jack, you see. But that joke's not PC. So give me me some credit. Forget that I said it. A lesson we'll learn. So let us return back to the member who tries to remember if he took some cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house that Jack brought. Yeah. Now, how will our story end? When he rats out his friends. But their friendships, they'll resume. Why, they can all share a room in the big house, the Jack Field. Thank you.
And now, the star of Iraqi court TV, Saddam Hussein.
I met my new lawyer in my cell last night. He seemed so scared to meet me, I just smiled. And we talked about my trial, and he said that I'm, he fears, still crazy after all these years. Still crazy after all these years. I'm not the kind of man who tends to socialize. So many of my closest friends I shot. And they will not find a jury if they look a million years. I'm too crazy to have any peers. I condone torture and spied on people. All of my staff's in the pen. But if you take these things together, I mean, these days, that's really quite American, huh? You know, I won that election very fair and square. And I should be in office to this day. But though Bush somehow defeated me, I'm president for sure. These days I'm seeming more and more less crazy and more like Al Gore.
And now, to answer the musical question, is the left right? The Capitol Steps present a new show starring Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, Nancy Pelosi, and Ted Kennedy.
Democrats were having trouble falling all to pieces.
Tried to seek protection as a new endangered species.
Then the press unveils Republican travails.
We'll win again if we err again. Just stay out of jail.
And now it's
springtime for liberals and Hillary. Go hug a stem cell today.
Death row must go away, it's cruel.
Unless you tried to pray in school.
Springtime for liberals is here to stay. Send France the whole NRA.
Say if he were alive today.
Don't be scared to tell your mommy. Come on, be a pingo commie. Join the liberal revolution. We're promoting evolution. You deserve a liberal spanking if you don't adore Al Franken.
My name's Ted. Just watch us thrive. You ladies want a ride? I'll drive.
Springtime for liberals and hippies. show it, but you and I know it. We're going to blow it for Sean.
My fellow Americans, it's me, Debbie, again. Time to have an important conversation with my Secretary of Offense. Y'all know him as Mr. Donald Rumpusfeld. Whoa. Don, you're looking kind of tense. You think maybe you ought to switch over to that decapitated coffee?
Mr. President, I'm concerned about the situation in Iran. It seems clear at this point that they are working to achieve nuclear fission.
I love fishing. I wonder what kind of bait they use.
So nuclear fission, as in making weapons of mass destruction.
You're not going to get me on that one again. You know what they say, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice, he fooled me two times.
Mr. President, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, no offense intended.
None comprehended. By the way, have you seen Condoleezza Rice around? I've been meaning to talk to her ever since she got back from her visit to the People's Republic of China. Here, tell you what, let me call her on my SpongeBob walkie-talkie here. Condi Kane, can you come out here, please? Oh, there you are.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm back, although I did wonder why you sent me to China, of all places.
I just thought it'd be funny to send Rice to China. Irony.
Mr. President, please, sir, we need to discuss the nuclear situation in the Middle East.
Don, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Bomb, 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 bomb Iran.
Bomb, 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 bomb Iran.
Let's bomb Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Now that's a plan.
Ayatollah in a spider hole in Iran.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Nukes we have vowed will not be allowed. Tehran, you keep on messing. You can see a mushroom cloud in Iran.
Bomb, 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 bomb,
please
Iran.
Understand. Bomb, 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 Iran.
It's not assassination, just premature cremation in Iran.
Bomb, 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 Iran. There's one thing more that we can't ignore. We haven't got the troops to go and fight another war.
Here's a plan.
Bomb, bomb, bomb,
to invade Iran.
Bomb, 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 Iran.
We haven't the resources.
How about if we outsource it?
That's a plan.
Bomb, 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 kaboom!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Capital Steps are based in Washington, D.C., and if you've been to our city, you've probably noticed our very fine mass transit system. This is a story of one rider on that system.
On a cold and gray December morn, commuters in D.C. look so forlorn. On the metro.
On the metro.
And a tourist asks, will the red line take me to the blue? Do I look like a friggin' map to you? Of the metro.
Of the metro.
People, don't you understand? Tourists need a helping hand, or they'll ride on the metro rails all day. Will their memory of D.C. be nothing but the smell of pee? Coming from a guy who sits and works on his crochet. And a woman sighs, 'cause when the train's packed full, she starts to dread guys treating her butt like it's Wonder Bread.
On the Metro.
On the Metro.
And so she tells those guys, hey, watch out, don't invade my space. But half of them are already to second base. On the Metro.
On the Metro.
Then one day in desperation, she says she'll drive today. She hits the road in her car. Traffic sucks, so she doesn't get far before she starts to cry. And when the train goes by, she knows she's wrong, and she misses the chimes as they go bing bong.
Doors closing.
On the Metro.
On the Metro.
Just take me.
And now let's head down south.
Never had two storms just like it. Did New Orleans have a curse? As the water rose around me, just when I thought that things could not get worse, they sent in FEMA. That guy Brownie, feeble job in all respects. FEMA sprang to action when the water reached our necks. Where was Bush in this disaster? At his ranch just having fun. You gotta give George Bush some credit. He came the minute his vacation was done. He makes me scream up. Here's a warning, soon the White House will insist. Katrina is now joining Bush's evil access list. If you ever should need FEMA, there's one way you'll have a chance. FEMA must know your disaster at least 2 weeks in advance.
This Capital Steps radio show was taped in front of a really good-looking and pleasant-smelling audience at the Ronald Reagan International Trade Center in Washington, D.C. It was written by Mark Eaton and Elena Newport. Our performers, who would like to remain anonymous, were Mark Eaton, Mike Tilford, Jack Rolls, Dolores King-Williams, Janet Davidson-Gordon, and me, Kevin Corbett, accompanied by the way-above-adequate Lenny Williams. We'd like to thank our sound engineer, Jim Smith, Road Crew, Paul Toprose, Andy Voss, and Rich Patterson, and our permanent press secretary, Bill Hurd. The Capital Steps will have a new album in a couple of weeks. It's called I'm So Indicted. Visit our website at capitalsteps.com for an impulse purchase. We perform every Friday and Saturday here at the Reagan Building in Washington, D.C., and we might be coming to your town. Who knows? For information on all of this or to download new songs, visit our website at capitalsteps.com. Remember, if a scandal happens in the news, you can run right to our website and find out exactly what rhymes with it. Thanks for listening!
The Capital Steps Politics Takes a Holiday April Fool's Day special will be repeated tonight here on WILL AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu at 6:30.
Today's programming is made possible in part by grants from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign and Crossroads Global Handcrafts, 428 North Main in Bloomington, providing income to third world artisans by marketing their handcrafts and telling their stories in North America.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. A few years back, NPR's Morning Edition reported that Boston's NBA team would make an adjustment in their name. No longer would the team be known as the Celtics. They would be called the Celtics. At the breakfast table and later at water coolers across the land, and especially in Boston, there were an awful lot of people saying to one another, "Have you heard?" Well, guess what? It was April 1st. Of course, it doesn't have to be April Fool's Day for someone to pull the wool over our eyes. There are pranksters aplenty, and we're often taken in. My guest in this portion of the afternoon magazine is Alex Burza. He says we live in a world that's fake and growing faker every day in increasingly bizarre ways. Alex Burza is the curator of the online Museum of Hoaxes, www.museumofhoaxes.com, and the author of a book by the same name. His latest book, due out tomorrow, no fooling, is Hippo Eats Dwarf, a field guide to hoaxes and other BS. Listeners, do you have a question or a comment about hoaxes? You can give us a call and join the discussion this afternoon. The phone number's in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Alex Burza, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Do you have a favorite April Fool's Day prank?
Well, the one that I list as the, I have a list of the top 100 of all time on my site, and I think the favorite of a lot of people and the one that I list as number one is the Swiss spaghetti harvest hoax from 1957, which was perpetrated by the BBC, in which they announced that thanks to a very mild winter and the elimination of the dreaded spaghetti weevil, the Swiss were actually enjoying a bumper spaghetti crop that year. And they showed this video footage of Swiss peasants pulling spaghetti down from spaghetti trees. And the context of this was that 1950s in England, spaghetti was a relatively new dish there. Not many people... They knew about it, but they didn't eat it often. So you had thousands of British citizens sitting there thinking, wow, you know, never realized that spaghetti grew on spaghetti trees. And actually, quite a few of them called up the BBC wanting to know how they could grow their own spaghetti trees. And the BBC replied very diplomatically, of course, that you should place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best.
Wow. That reminds me of another claim that is in now Hippo Eats Dwarf, and that is the meat tree.
Mm-hmm. The genetically engineered meat trees that supposedly have a grapefruit-like fruit on them that you could peel it back, and instead of having grapefruit inside of it, you would have meat trees. And this made its way around the Internet, as many things do nowadays. I believe that one, the original source of that was the Weekly World News, which is the source of so many bizarre stories nowadays.
Yeah, which showed up in them. What was the movie that showed up in as the tip sheet for the aliens?
I don't know you.
But the characters in the film from outer space said that's what they went
Mars
to.
Mars Attacks or something.
It wasn't Mars Attacks, but anyway, that was pretty funny. Has the Internet contributed to the spread of fakery?
Oh, in a huge way. And what the Internet has done is it's really allowed anybody with access to a computer to dream up some crazy thing, create a website, put it out there, and potentially have this reach an audience of millions of people. And that never used to be the case because, of course, just 15 or 20 years ago, you really had to know somebody in the media in order to get a story like that out there. But the gatekeepers have disappeared, so to speak. There are no more editors to censor out the misinformation, and things can spread around the globe in just a couple hours sometimes.
Yeah. And even on the Internet, you can find fake websites and fake blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. One of the most notorious fake websites was the so-called Bonsai Kitten website that purported to offer instructions on how you grow kittens, kind of a gross thing, but how you grow kittens inside of glass jars, and supposedly their bones would mold to the shape of the jar, and you would have this, you know, rectangular-shaped kitten. And this, like I said, easily the most notorious website hoax out there, got millions of people outraged who came across this, thought it was real. The Humane Society was trying to get it shut down. The FBI even investigated it. They discovered that all it was a prank website created by some students at MIT, actually, who had just a slightly warped sense of humor.
Yeah. Now, as you point out in Hippo Eats Dwarf, people have always faked stuff. But you say we're seeing more and more of it today. The internet could be one factor. Is there something else going on?
Well, you know, a lot of advertising, entertainment culture, this all contributes to it. And I think in a way nowadays we become very impatient and, you know, we're kind of addicted to things happening fast and conveniently. And sometimes if reality just doesn't fit the way we want it to be, we figure, well, you know, why not just fake it, cut a few corners, cheat a little bit, make it like the way we want it to be. And it's just that kind of attitude seems to be spreading. And so you get these strange forms of fakery kind of spreading throughout their culture, popping up in politics, on TV, you know, even in romance nowadays. I have a whole chapter
on
strange romance deceptions.
Oh, boy. Is your objective with this book to help us survive in a world awash in fakery, or to have some fun, or both?
Well, yeah, it really is both. I don't want to preach to people. And, you know, sometimes we twist reality, and it's just kind of fun and, you know, pranksters playing their tricks. And, you know, I don't want to be out there saying that we all have to be absolutely true all the time, because, you know, sometimes it is fun to indulge a little bit of fantasy. But so I offer kind of playful advice on how to navigate this strange world. But I, you know, my underlying message, I think, is serious, that this world really, you know, our culture has become fake in very odd ways, and I think this is something that people do need to be aware of. And if you're not aware of it, if you're not kind of media savvy, you can really get, you know, taken for a ride in many unusual ways nowadays.
Yeah. And there's a very useful chapter on politics in your book.
Yeah, there are absolutely no shortage of political hoaxes. And sometimes, you know, you look at the way politicians act, and it's like they, you know, not to be cynical, but they say one thing and their actions are doing something completely different. It's almost as if, like, you know, they think they're on some kind of reality TV show, and we just get these elaborate theatrical performances by them instead of real action.
Tell us about the Nigerian market and the Queen.
This was just to show that not only American politicians get up to this stuff, but there was actually a case where the Queen was visiting Nigeria, and her handlers thought that, you know, for good reasons, they didn't want her just walking around in public, but they also wanted to get the PR opportunity of making it seem as if she was walking around in public. So what they did was they created an entire fake village that they staffed with, you know, fake actors who were pretending to be Nigerian villagers. And the Queen actually toured around this. It was basically a sound stage, and photographers were allowed to take pictures of this as if she was out among the people. And of course, the real Nigerian villagers kind of got, you know, glances, peek through the bars of this compound that she was in. You know, it's just kind of this surreal thing where they're really trying to create a fake version of reality and present it to the public.
Yeah. You wonder how somebody like the Queen of England goes along with something like that.
Well, I get, you know, her handlers tell her to do this, that she listens to her security people, and, you know, and in a way, often, I guess, leaders are, you know, they have to listen to the people around them. So.
Yeah, they're handled.
Yeah.
And there's a picture in this chapter of our president with the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to presumably carve the Thanksgiving turkey for some troops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a trophy turkey.
Right. Caused a minor scandal when it came out. You know, he's makes a surprise visit to Iraq. He's there serving them this great, beautiful, golden turkey. And it turns out that the turkey that he was photographed with was not a turkey at all. It was just a plastic prop, which the food industry has a term for, like you said, a trophy turkey. So it just, I think for a lot of people, this came to symbolize the kind of shallowness, in a way, of modern political discourse, in that, you know, instead of having real substance, we just get the image.
Yeah, and you know, here's something, you know, that you got to think about. How is it that we go along? How is it that a story, like I'm going to ask you to tell the hippo and the dwarf story in just a moment, but how is it that this kind of stuff has such staying power? And that we do stuff like this, and that we believe stuff like this.
There's so much information out there nowadays that we're kind of bombarded with it. So, the internet, especially in modern communications, all the cable news channels, we're presented with stories from all around the world. Some of them are legitimately true, strange but true. So it becomes extremely difficult to separate the fact from the fiction, because nobody has the time to fact check all this stuff. You know, you sit there and you read the news on the internet or in your paper. You kind of have to trust the reporters and everybody around you. So it's as if we've got these extended webs of networks of trust in the modern world, where we have to place our trust in thousands of people we've never met. And because of that, it offers us many conveniences, but it also places us in jeopardy of constantly having misinformation presented to us.
Mm. Well, now tell us about the hippo and the dwarf hoax.
Yes, hippo eats dwarf. Well, perhaps one of the greatest newspaper headlines ever. It tells a story, and this has been presented as fact in a variety of reputable newspapers, including the Sydney Daily Telegraph, of a circus dwarf named Odd, who was doing his act, bouncing up and down on a trampoline, and he accidentally bounced sideways and landed in the mouth of a yawning hippo. And the hippo's name was Hilda. That's a nice detail that's always added. And Hilda found this dwarf in her mouth, and her gag reflex made her immediately swallow him. And a crowd was watching this, and they start to applaud wildly because, of course, they think this is all part of the act. Until, you know, they realize the tragic mistake that Odd the dwarf has actually died. And like I said, this has been reported as fact. I think what it is, I've never actually been able to track down the original source of this story, but I believe started out as a joke. And like many pieces of satire nowadays, they somehow find their way into the global media and get presented as the kind of quirky news stories that a lot of people in the media love. And so it's had this second life as a story that keeps appearing in newspapers around the world. And so I kind of use that to symbolize this strange, ambiguous relationship we have between fact and fiction in the modern world.
Mm. Any tips here to wrap up for spotting hoaxes, pranks, and fakeries?
The best piece of advice I could give is that information is only as good as its source. So, people nowadays have to be very careful about the source of information. And if something seems to be coming from a really flaky source, or if the source isn't clear at all, if a friend of a friend is telling you something, then that right there is a huge red flag that you may not want to put much trust in that information.
Mm. And to close here, I want to pass along a phrase that you have on page 2 of your book that I think we'd find very helpful, and that is maybe what we need is more zoom-out moments.
Right. A zoom-out moment is when you suddenly see the big picture and realize that you had no clue how things really are. So that definitely, if we could kind of zoom out and realize how fake this world has become, that might help a lot of people.
Mm. Alan, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon. Alex, excuse me. We had a very strange thing happen here in the studio. I'm not quite sure what's going on. The lights are flickering. Alex Berza has been my guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. He is the curator of the online Museum of Hoaxes at www.museumofhoaxes.com and the author of a book by the same name. His latest book, due out tomorrow, is Hippo Eats Dwarf, A Field Guide to Hoaxes and Other BS. The publisher is Harcourt. Again, Alex, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Alex Berza. It's 8 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time. Settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thank you very much, Celeste. From the Board of Trade on this Friday afternoon, report day in Washington, D.C., the Prospective Planning's report out this morning.